All right, so we're continuing a sermon series. We just started it last week, so if you missed last week, you're close enough to the beginning to feel a part of the beginning. We're calling this gospel living in a world that's upside down, right? This is our upside down world. We're going to talk a lot about that today. As we're moving through Matthew 5, we're learning that anyone who's called by Jesus to follow him, to be one of his disciples, will live his values, will live his ethics in this world. First, you've got to be saved, right? That's the beginning of Matthew 5. Then we live the rest of our lives as his representatives here. It's exciting, it's thrilling, it's challenging, but it is different than the world, right? That's why we are living the gospel. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ in this world, even though the world is completely turned upside down. Last week, we looked at Jesus's call on us to be people who are helping others make peace with God. God wants us to be more concerned that people are at war with him than our personal opinions. That's a good summary of my sermon last week. Did you guys hear that? I'm going to repeat it because it's a hybrid of a quote that I heard from someone else. And when I heard it, I thought, man, that stuck with me. God wants us to be more concerned that people are at war with him than our personal opinions. And sometimes, boy, we're really quick and bold with our personal opinions, and we have no regard that they are at war with their creator. That's not the way God wants us to be living. God expects us to see everyone who is still at war with him with compassion and mercy, combined with this drive to reconcile them back to God. That was last week. Today, we're going to continue on with, really there's a continuation of that theme, because Jesus says, hey, you followers of mine, disciples of mine, you are to be salt and light in this world. So let me give you two introductory ideas that summarize salt and light. A lot of people bring all kinds of ideas and expectations about what salt and light looks like or what that would be as a lifestyle. Let me just give you a couple broad stroke ideas just to set the stage of where we're going to go with this. The Christian exists to spread their delight and their joy in knowing God. That is salt and light. That's very intentional. You'll understand that phrase more when we get to almost the last thing we're going to get to in this entire sermon. I'm saving like this surprise ending insight to the very end of this sermon, okay? And it relates to that statement right there. Here's the second thing. As Christians, we have this divine obligation to our neighbors, our friends, our family, to show them what a blessed life looks like. Think about that. The beginning of the Sermon on the Mount keeps going on. Blessed, blessed, blessed. Blessed means supremely happy. It is our divine obligation to show people what that looks like. Are we supremely happy as we live, as we struggle along, as we deal with troubles and confusion, riding the ups and the downs of life? Are we modeling that? Are we showing that? Because something is so different about us. That is salt and light. Now, some of you would think at this point, well, that's good for me, man. Let's just pray and close. I got enough right there, salt and light. But I'm going to explain more as we look through it. Turn, if you would, to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, and we'll read these verses about what Jesus says, starting in verse 13 through 16. This is Jesus talking. He says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall it be saltiness be restored? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. This is the word of the Lord for today. So I got three things I want to show you in these verses. The first thing I want to show you is this: the world needs salt and light. The world needs it. So let's just talk about salt and light for a second. Do you know how long a piece of steak can stay at room temperature before it starts rotting? Do you know? Now, some of you are going to get really twisted up here because you feel like you are a steak meat master, and you're going to want to disagree. Talk about it with your friends. I don't need to hear about it later, okay? There's all kinds of theories on this. According to the U.S. Department of Agriculture, let me just throw down a little weight, okay? And see, I already see some head shaking. You're like, no, they don't know what they're talking about. They say 2 hours at room temperature begins the bacteria growing in your meat, which becomes dangerous to you. I found a lot of resources that said 2 hours is too quick. Don't worry about it. You can definitely let your meat go 4 hours at room temperature, no problem. I just leave that up for you. The point is, it starts to rot, okay? It doesn't matter the amount of time. Now, you might wonder, what about these dry-aged steaks that they say, you know, we spend so much money on? Well, those are steaks that are put in very controlled environments designed to in a very calculated way, control the bacteria growth so that you don't get sick, okay? So you can research that on your own. That is a wormhole of research. I'm just going to tell you that right now. The point to Jesus and his listeners was this: in ancient times, both meat and fish were covered, literally surrounded, in salt to prevent bacteria growing, thus preserving it for weeks. Okay? That's a little bit about salt. You can research more later if you're interested. How about light? How long can a person live in total darkness? A long time, by the way. I'll just tell you that right now. But not well. The human brain relies upon light to establish a healthy sleep-wake pattern. So without light, your brain does not know when, if at all, to release the melatonin, which then helps you fall asleep. And it's basically, if you go in total darkness, you will get to a place where you're sleep deprived, even though sometimes you'll sleep 24 hours. It's fascinating, these little research things that they've done on it. In another really interesting way, because I think, what about people that are blind? Like, how do they discern light? How do they get on a healthy sleep-wake cycle? And they actually really struggle with that. They actually take medicine, like they'll take melatonin to help them get on a healthy cycle, because without sunlight, they'll have to take vitamin D, because you can have vitamin D deficiencies. There's all kinds of medical problems that come without having light. You can live, but it's not a good life. So what is Jesus saying about in these verses then? He's saying, look, the world needs salt for preservation and light. It's pretty simple, that's what he's saying. Because the world is moving toward disorganization, disorder, and total decay as it's left by itself, right? Things fall apart. Our bodies fall apart. Rocks deteriorate. Trees die. Even stars are slowly dying, right? Everything is getting old and breaking down. It follows the second law of thermodynamics, that everything's moving from order to disorder. Everybody agrees with that. There have been seasons and times through human history where people, philosophers and people that are like great intellects, have thought, oh, no, look, the trajectory of humanity is actually going up. Everything's getting better. See, look at the evidence around us. Nobody agrees with that anymore. Nobody. There can be cycles. But things are not getting better. As a Christian, we'd say, well, the problem is that there's sin in this world, which is destroying things. So without the presence of Christians living as followers of Jesus, there is no lasting solid hope in this world. You see, think about it. There's no intellectually sound reason to hope without God, because everything's moving toward decay and destruction. Amen. Let me give you an example of the cycles. Let's go back in time a little bit. Let's go back to the 80s, right? In the 80s, people said the greatest threat to human civilization was nuclear. It was the nuclear threat. Everybody was afraid of it. And then when the Cold War came to an end, finally humanity was saved. Whew! Now, what does the Christian have to say about that? Wait. You're forgetting something. The nuclear threat was just one more threat in a long line of threats that this decaying world is facing. And if your optimism is only based on the shifting circumstances, you are on an emotional roller coaster. Because just wait for it, something else is going to happen. And then, you know, hope will rise again, and then something else will happen. And then hope will rise again. Look, if you don't embrace the truth of these verses that Jesus is saying here, you will be like riding that crazy emotional roller coaster your entire life, and you'll vacillate between unrealistic optimism and cynicism your entire life. Now, you might say, man, that is really depressing. If everything is falling apart and we're just on this emotional roller coaster, what is the meaning of life? That's a great question. Because without God, life doesn't mean anything more than your personal experiences at this very moment and then at the next moment. See, if God is removed, then there's really nothing in life is any more than a chemical reaction that's happening. One opinion is no more valid than another opinion. We're all just like a flicker of meaningless in this grand accident. That's depressing. So the logic goes, well, I better just like get everything I can in this moment, right now. See, Christianity is neither a shallow optimism or a dark pessimism. It doesn't look at the good things that happen as just this fuzzy hope or as the bad things as this inevitable cloud. It looks at Jesus Christ as the ideal who has become flesh and bone. Jesus is the basis for beauty, for right, for wrong, for love. So do you see the implications of what Jesus is saying about this decaying universe? He is saying this is our world and it needs salt and it needs light to slow the decay. That's the first thing I want to point out. Here's the second. There is a salt and a light from outside the world that can save it. And he has a name and his name is Jesus Christ. So let's just talk about salt for a second. About Jesus being salt. See, salt does more than preserve. It also makes a person thirsty. In fact, Jesus preserves the decay of the world by triggering people's thirst for him. This is fascinating. Flip over to John chapter 7. In that setting, there was a festival had been happening, and it was called the Feast of Tabernacles. During the week, the priest on each day would go out, gather salt, and pile it up on the altar. And on the last day of the festival, while this big pile of salt is sitting on the altar, everybody sees it. It's very obvious. It says in John 7, verse 37, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink." Like, that's just not like a coincidental thing. He's saying, no, you look, you see all the salt, right? It makes you thirsty. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture have said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Isn't that fascinating? See, what's the point of salt just preserving something if the only point is to delay the decay? If that's a piece of meat, that's fine and good. But that's a horrible concept if we're talking about the souls of men and women. Oh, we'll preserve you, but eventually you're still going to die. See, Jesus uses just ordinary salt to make a very spiritually profound point. He's saying, though, I am the salt, my life, my truth, my love. It increases a person's thirst. Come to me and drink. You will be eternally satisfied with salvation. That's how Jesus can save the world, by being salt. Now let's talk about Jesus being light. So many verses about Jesus being light in the scriptures. The summation of it being that Jesus preserves the decay of this world by lighting people's path to him, which is salvation. That's what pretty much all of them say. Let me just show you a couple. John 1, 4 through 5. In him, so in Jesus, was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. John 8, 12. Again, Jesus spoke to them, saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So the Bible makes it very clear Jesus is the light of the world. It means he's the truth. He illuminates. He's gloriously good. Well, he can't lie. He can't cheat. He can't take advantage. It means he guides us to reality because he is a light that shows you the path to him. So let me give you a quick example of this. Recently, I have made a pathway on the side of my house. So it has been, for the last few years, a rock gardening bed, I think is probably what you would call it. It had one lonely, lame bush in this whole thing, right? It was nothing great. And to get around from my driveway to my back gate, you had to like walk through the grass or literally like walk through and over the bush. It was kind of annoying. So I removed it all. I laid down some flagstone so we have a nice walkway path from my driveway to my gate. I thought that was a great idea. But I was not finished until I lit the path. I mean, it gets dark at my house at like 4:30 right now. So nobody can use the path after 4:30 because it's dark, right? So I went and bought some solar-powered motion sensor lights. Mounted them so that now as you walk down the path, it's such a beautiful thing. I've already made about half my family just try it because it's just so glorious. I say, look, just walk down the path. I don't even tell them what's coming. And they start walking and then all of a sudden, boop, light. And they're like, oh, that's cool. They walk a little more, boop, new light. And it just lights the whole path as you go back. It's glorious. I get very excited about these little projects. I'm not good at construction. I'm not good at like big mega projects, but like little projects I can handle. So great. Look, here's the point. Jesus does this for our decaying world because he lights the path to him, which is salvation. It's like you're like walking down the dark path and you're like, well, here I go. This isn't good. And then all of a sudden, boop, light. You're like, oh, that's cool. Look at that. I got some new light right there and it's lighting my path. And you keep going and like, boop, here's some more light. Lighting the way to salvation. Where are those lights coming from? What are the solar-powered motion sensor lights in people's lives? Well, that's you. And that's me. Because we're the light. We're shining the light of Jesus Christ. See, without Jesus' light, nobody can find their way. Without Jesus' light, everybody would be living in darkness and you just remain there. Without Jesus' light, everyone would be stuck living in this world that is falling apart, decaying, and being destroyed. Jesus preserves this world by his light. Now, let me tell you one more fascinating fact about Jesus and his the reality of him being light. He never turns off. Right? There's no light switch, like turn him on and then turn him off. Like he's always on. If you go back to Genesis chapter 1, when everything's being created, light was created out of an overflow of the being of who God is. And in Revelation 21 and 22, when you get to the very end, talking about the new heaven and the new earth, Revelation 21 tells us this. And the city is the new earth. In the new earth, there's a city. It's glorious. It has no need of sun or moon to shine on it. For the glory of God gives it light. And its light is the Lamb. The light is Jesus. You don't have to have a sun or a moon. There's some mystery in that. And if you go over to Revelation 22:5, it says, and night will be no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun. So again, right, now it actually added, you don't even need a lamp, right? You had no sun, now you had no moon, now they're saying you got no need for a lamp. For the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. Amen. That's fascinating, you guys, and beautiful and glorious. That Jesus, it just exudes this light that is so pervasive that there is no more darkness. I think it's amazing. His power and his effect, it goes beyond our imaginations and even what we can comprehend fully. And I'm just explaining a sliver of what the scriptures say about Jesus here. But the point is this, there is a salt and a light from outside of the world that can save the world, and his name is Jesus. That's the second point. Here's the third, and now we're going to talk about us. The third point is this, if you follow Jesus Christ, you become the salt and the light. Verse 13 says, you are the salt of the earth. Verse 14 says, you are the light of the world. So let's just change this pronoun for a second. Let's put ourselves in it. I am the salt of the earth. That's us. I am the light of the world. And it's not just me, it's all of us. You guys want to say that together? Like, it helps us get our minds kind of in line with what the truth of Scripture says. So say that, say about the salt. I am the salt of the earth. And how about the light? I am the light of the world. Amen. That's who we are, guys. And the things we think and the things we say, they set the pattern of our days. And some of you never think this thought or say these words. You think, I am, and then you fill in the blank, but Jesus is saying we should spend time being very conscientious and very aware. Okay, God, as I'm entering the day today, here I am. I'm a follower of yours. I am your salt as I go into this world today. That's who I am. I am your light. I am the light of this world. I'm the light of my neighborhood. I'm the light amongst my friends. I'm the light in my work. I am the salt that brings preservation. I am the salt that makes people thirsty for you. That's who I am. So today, use me and shine your light through me as I live. That's how we should be going through our days. This concept is repeated so many times in the New Testament. I just want to show you a few places here. Colossians 4, 5 and 6 says this, "Walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of your time. Let your speech, every word you say, always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person." Man, that's a great passage of scripture to meditate on and to let that soak into your heart so that as you're walking through your day, you're saying, okay, God, today, let my speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that I know how to answer and respond to people as I'm interacting with them today. What a great way to start your day. Here's another one, 1 Thessalonians 5:5. "For you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness." Another great way to start your day. Okay, Lord, here I am. I'm a child of light today. So here I go. I am moving into a dark world. It is decaying. It is dying. And it breaks my heart in different ways. But today I am now entering into it as a person of the darkness. I am a person of light. And I am your child as I move into this world. And so shine through me today. That's 1 Thessalonians 5:5. How about another one? Philippians 2:14 through 16. This one's also about light. "Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God, without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life." So another great way to enter our day, to be shining as lights in this dark world. See, if you are a follower of Jesus, Jesus changes you to become like him so that you are then, of course, being salt and light in this world. It's part of God's big plan for your life. It is your future. It's not like an optional thing. It's not like you're looking at a checklist and Jesus saying, here's the 10 things that I really want you to be about. And you're looking it over and you're like, I don't know, salt and light. What other options do I have on there? No, it is like a guarantee. Jesus puts your name in there and he says, you, John, are the salt of the earth. You, Sarah, are the light of the world. That's who you are because Jesus is inside of you. Through history, followers of Jesus Christ, being salt and light, have been at the leading edge of so many amazing and good things in this world, starting hospitals, starting humanitarian efforts and organizations, raising the value of the treatment of women, defending the rights of children, bringing the saving message of the good news of Jesus Christ to people so that they can get saved, and then they live as salt and light, and then they start to change the world as well. Well, I found this fascinating. One of the things that, as it relates to bringing the gospel message to more and more people, that it just really kind of blew my mind, is that in the last 100 years, the number of Christians in the world has quadrupled. I thought, hey, that's pretty good news. So back in the 1910, they estimate, according to all the research they could do, about 600 million Christians. Today, there's more than 2 billion. So Christianity is the world's largest religious group at 2.3 billion people around the world. All of this is accomplished through followers of Jesus being changed by Jesus, then living as salt and light before people. That's how that's accomplished. That does not happen coincidentally. That does not happen because there's like pastors just standing in front of churches and preaching. It happens because hundreds and thousands of people, everybody together, living as followers of Jesus Christ, shining his light. It's very intentional. If you go out into over by the coffee shop, it's very intentional, guys, that the map of our community that depicts us praying for our neighbors represents you as light. You should go look at it. We went to a lot of thought to put those holes in the metal and have light shining through the back because we are the light of our community shining here to make a difference for Jesus Christ in their lives. I mean, if you think about the general idea of all of these legacy projects that we're giving to sacrificially, it's all about being salt and light in our community and around the world. That's why we're giving extra money. We're like, yeah, that's a great cause. I want more light to be shining in our community. I'll give to that. I want more salt to be spread in our community. I'll be about that. Now, you might wonder, well, like, how do I get more of that shining out of my life? How do I get more saltiness? How do I get more light shining out of my life? So let's talk about some practicality here real quick. Psalm 119, 105 says this, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." So the word of God, your Bible, is your light that guides you. He gives you light on how to live in your business dealings, your marriage, your parenting, your financial activities, your frustrations, and your excitements. He gives light to every area of your life. And the more you're soaking in his word, the more frequently he will be speaking to you, changing you, and then the more you're just going to be shining light everywhere you go. The more you're going to be spreading salt everywhere you go. So you've got to ask yourself, like, how much are you reading the word of God? How much are you meditating on his word? The more you do it, the brighter your light will be shining and the more salty your salt will be. If that's a concept, I don't know. It must be able to lose some kind of saltiness because they can throw it out when it gets bad. You know, we gave you guys verses, the seven different passages that are related to hope specifically. Please pick one, at least one, and be meditating on that. Weave it into your prayers. Guide your biblical hopes for this year on the word of God. Pray it, meditate on it, so it literally just becomes part of who you are. That will have you shining more light and spreading more salt. Now, I told you I was going to save the last, the kind of the big reveal surprise to the end. We're at that point. You ready for it? This is so great, guys. Verse 16. I love when I find these things in God's word. Verse 16 says this, "Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." Now, there are two words in Greek for good, agathos and kalos, right? Agathos means good in quality. Kalos means beautiful. They would actually use that word to say, oh, there's a beautiful woman. The word Jesus uses in this verse is kalos, for beautiful. The essence of what Jesus is saying there is when we shine, people will see our beautiful works, our beautiful lives, and give glory to God in heaven. Now, is that a bit of a mind twister for anybody else in here? I just like to know, did anybody else know that that's what that verse meant? Because that changes my perspective a lot. I have been around a lot of Christians over the years, and at times, people have a little bit of an edge when they want to, you know, when they're like, well, I'm just being salt and I'm being light. And I'm like, okay, that's biblical. I'm not sure why you're like kind of like, right, kind of, you're like kind of angry about the whole thing. And if you're being like really persecuted, you're like, well, I'm just shining the light of Jesus. And this verse kind of messes with me a little bit. I think we have to think about this biblically. See, when we are salt and life, we bring joy to people. Salt doesn't just preserve. Salt doesn't just make a person thirsty. Salt makes things taste better. It's a seasoning. That's actually in the verses for today. Life is better with salt. And life is better with Christians. Light, it doesn't just blind people like a big old spotlight. Light is beautiful because it shows textures that you can't see in the shadows. Light shows the variation of color and greater detail. Life is better with light, and life is better with Christians as well. See, being salt and being light does not mean you are a joy killer. You are a joy bringer. All right? You should look at your own life. Be honest enough to just assess yourself. When you enter the environment, are you a joy bringer or a joy killer? Now, this is tough. Discerning this is tough, and you already know why, because sometimes when you shine your light on something, let's just call it when you shine your light on abuse or when you shine your light on gossip, you will be persecuted by some for doing that. But at the same time, you're going to be bringing joy to others. So you can, it doesn't mean you're always with every single person going to be bringing joy to them as you shine your light and you live as salt. That doesn't, but as you bring joy to the places that you frequent all the time, as you go into those places, people should be glad you just showed up. Where do you go regularly? I was thinking about this for myself, right? I told you last week that I started at a new gym. People should be happier that I'm there than if I am not. Because I'm a joy bringer. That's who I should be. On my street, in my neighborhood, people should be happier that I moved in than if I hadn't, because I'm a joy bringer. Right? In your family gatherings, when your friends are over, in your office, as a Christian who is following Jesus, we should be living lives that have beautiful works. And people should think, oh, I'm so glad they joined our team. I'm so glad they are in our lives. Now look, that doesn't mean every single person is going to think you're amazing. That's not realistic. But some should. And I think we all have to just kind of look at ourselves and say, how am I doing there? What kind of reactions am I getting from people? Are people glad I'm in their life? Great question. It's a probing question. If you wonder, well, why would they like me? I can be a bit difficult. I can be a bit opinionated. I can be a bit critical. Then look back at Colossians 3 and Ephesians chapter 5. When it describes the different fruits of the Spirit of a follower of Jesus Christ. Colossians 3 says to clothe ourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, patience, forgiveness, and love. Man, that's a joy bringer right there. That's a pleasant person to be around as you're shining light and living as salt. Ephesians 5, very similar qualities as we'd say, all right, follower of Jesus Christ, filled with the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, here's what the fruit looks like. You've got love, you've got joy, you've got peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. It's just kind of flowing out of you. And there you are. You're like, well, it's not really me, it's Jesus. But when I come into a room and when I get into a street, I am bringing the joy of Jesus Christ, the good, beautiful works of my Savior, because I just showed up. And it's not just because of me. It's because of Jesus flowing out of me. Are you salty and are you lit up? If you're a non-Christian today, you can give your life to Jesus and become one of his followers. And you can shine his light and be his salt. If you are a Christian today, please listen to these words that Jesus says when he says, no, you are the light and you are the salt. And just imagine the change that can happen in our families, our workplaces, our community as we live like that. It's tremendous, you guys. It changes everything. Would you bow your heads? Let's pray together. Jesus, this calling that you have for us is a big calling, and eternity is on the line for many people. And we don't want to just take it casually or have a flippant attitude about it, but we want to just lean into your word and say, if this is what you say, then this is the person that I want to become more and more. So Holy Spirit, we ask right now that you would work deeply in every one of our hearts right now. Have your way and work deeply in us. Please shine your light into us through the power and the truth of your word, and then shine your truth and your light, and let's spread some salt out of our lives everywhere we go. That's who we want to be. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.